to welcome again the online students. We are excited you are tuning in to School of Ministry, as the man of God apostle is really important to us, an apostolic shift in government. And so as we understand, the culture of honor is also apostolic. It's prophetic and it's apostolic. So we're carrying on the same teaching that the apostle is carrying on in our first section of his teaching, is carrying over also in what we're studying, how to operate in the culture of honor, the culture of heaven-to-earth government, heaven-to-earth government. And we'll see something tonight as we study about chapter 5, dealing with a wealth mindset, the wealth mindset. Apostle has been teaching, he's an apostle of wealth finances, so he's been teaching upon wealth as an end-time message of the kingdom of God. It's his assignment. And so therefore, we should really be charged by chapter 5, because that we should already be groomed for this. This should be our bread and butter, you know, from his teaching over the years of pouring into us and pouring the word of God into us, breaking the mindset. And so tonight, we'll pick up there dealing with the mindset. And you'll see yourself, you'll find yourself and locate yourself and realize there are areas within you that need to be broken. You identify areas inside of you that need to be broken, because the heart of our apostle is, he keep wondering why people are not getting it. Why people are really not getting it. What's blocking us? And so tonight he shared something with us. You close that door for me a little bit. He shared something with us that we don't have a money problem, we have a soul problem, that our soul is the blocker of why we don't have our money, why we don't have our wealth. And so it's very important that we identify that our soul need a transformation. Our soul need a transformation. Not only have we been transformed, Paul says in Romans 12, by being ye transformed by the renewing of our minds. But Apostle wanted to take it even further tonight. He's saying that we need to sanctify ourselves, sanctifying our emotions, our feelings, our intellect, our will, our reasoning. These are parts of our soul that had to be sanctified and brought up under the word of God, so we can think properly, we can feel properly or righteous in alignment with the will of God, so we can have the right feelings about every issue in our life. Okay? Have the right thoughts about every issue in our life. I made a note tonight that ties right into what the apostle was saying, that a good ideal is not necessarily a God ideal. A good ideal is not necessarily a God ideal. And so therefore, even though I may have a good idea about my life, about my marriage, about my kids, about my finances, about my kingdom walk with God, maybe a good ideal, but is it in alignment with the righteousness of God? Is it in alignment with the righteousness of God? Do it has God approval? Do it has the blood of Jesus on it? Has God said yes and amen to that ideal? So we'll see that tonight as well, because we make decisions in our life every day about our lives. And when we have learned over time and experience that when we make wrong decisions, we get wrong results. And it costs us every time we make those decisions. It costs us time. It costs us energy. It costs us relationships. It causes us wealth. Okay, it causes us. So we're now suffering a deficit or a loss because we made wrong decision that we thought was a good idea at the moment. So now we got to bring our thoughts and our ideals and our emotions and our intellect and our reasoning in alignment with the word of God, or the righteousness of what God says. Just because it's a thought don't mean it's God. It has to come in alignment with the word of God and what God is saying. Okay? So what I want to pick up with in chapter 5 is on page 120. Is 120 is where I want to pick up. chapter 5, page 120 is what we want to pick up. And I need you to read the chapter, even though I'm picking up on page 120. There's some things I thought wasn't as vital to us in the first part of it. That's why I'm on page 120, to get to the guts of it, the reality of where we are, what we need to hear, how we need to apply this to our life. Okay? It's called The Power of Us on page 120, The Power of Us. In the second paragraph, he picks up here, it says, that is freedom training. That is freedom training. And I kind of highlight the little bit because he's talking about in the past of what we didn't read was about his son making a decision to go to a school that his other sister didn't go to. But his son is old enough because he want to play football and he don't want to go to home training. Okay? And so he want to go to school with his football to play football sports. And his father is trusting him with the responsibility of making the right decision, not only for himself, but a decision for the whole family. To understand that decision you make affect the whole family, not just you. So let's call it freedom training. So he allows his son to go through the process of reasoning and thinking about it and giving time for him to make up his mind what he really want to do. And his son comes up and says, Dad, yeah, I really want to go to the school, not only to play football, but other things I want to achieve. And so his father allows him to go, and he says it's called freedom training. So even God allows us to will out the freedom of choice. And the freedom of choice in the kingdom of God is God giving us freedom training. You know, God sat here and watches us all the time go to decisions. Never intervene. Just watch us make decisions, sometimes dumb, crazy decisions. You know, not in line with his will, but he sits there and watches us. Why? Because it's training. It's training to see if we're going to come in line with the word of God. Because God did not make us to be robots, to be controlled. He gave us a freedom of choice. So even though I know truth, I still have the right of choice. Either I choose it or I can choose not to do what God says. But yet, no matter what decision I make, they carry weight. They carry consequences. And so it's best to make the right decision, the God decision, which is going to cause the reward or the promises to rest on our life. Okay? So that's where that statement comes from. Let's move from that statement to what he says. Paul put it like this. He says to the Corinthians, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. You see, even though I had a freedom of choice, all things are not profitable unto me to choose everything. I can't do everything I think I want to do because it's not profitable unto me. So we have to be mindful not to make decisions or choices that will put us in bondage down the road. See, it could be a good decision right now to do it, but the decision may carry consequences down the road that may snare us. I'll give you an example is, let's say the idea is you're thinking about purchasing a car. You're thinking about getting your car, okay? It's okay to look at a car and get a car if getting the car do not bind your giving. You see, I have a right to go get a car. But if me going getting a car is going to put me in a bondage in my sowing and in my tithing, then it's not profitable for me to go get it. So therefore, I have to be patient enough to let God increase my overflow above my giving and work from there. I can't use my tithes to go get a car. In my sowing to get a car, that's not profitable to me because it's going to cause loss. Because my tithes and my offering is part of the reason why I'm getting the increase. But it needs to be above my giving that I begin to live off of that because the tithe belongs to God. You see? So it's dealing with I have a right to do it, but is it profitable? Is it going to profit me? That's every decision in your life, you must think about that. I can do it, but is it going to profit me? If it's going to tie my hand, tie my freedom in the things of God, then I can't do it. I can't. It's too expensive. I can't do it right now until God opened a door for more finances to come in or more liberty to come in so I can do it and yet maintain my liberty. Okay? So tell your neighbor, let nothing tie your hands. Yeah, let nothing tie your hands. Is marriage going to tie your hands right now? Don't go over there. Stay single. You know, you just got to know when to do it. Is it profitable? Okay. Okay. All right. Here's the next statement. He says, freedom causes our personal responsibility to rise to the surface. Make a note of that. Underline that in your Bible, in your writing, in your book, because of the fact that is question number one. You didn't make a note of that. Okay. So if you're doing a quiz, then you need to know, hey, that's number one. That's going to be one of my questions. Freedom causes our personal responsibility to rise to the surface. That is a powerful statement that I find that our liberty causes us to rise to a next level, to the next level. Make a note as you're writing it, just for maturity in your spirit, that the reason why God is training me with wealth training, because he wants me to understand the freedom of wealth, the freedom that wealth produces. Wealth produces freedom. And so therefore, once we learn how to walk in prosperity with a prosperous mindset, a wealth mindset, our freedom is going to, we're going to get so free to obey God without limitations, without hindrance. Okay? So that's why God wants to understand that when we come into freedom, it calls our personal life and our personal responsibility to rise to the surface. It affects my whole life. And now I must take total responsibility, righteous responsibility by every decision I make, because prosperity causes me to walk to a place of liberty where I can obey God at a drop of a hat. My family has its needs met. We're not stressed out about finances, about what we're going to do, when we're going to do it, when we're going to buy, what we're going to eat. There's no stress on us for that type of living any longer. Finances bring me to a freedom, and freedom is expensive. Freedom is expensive. That's why your mind has to be trained. Your soul has to become into maturity and alignment. Your emotion has to come in alignment with the will of God, because if it does not, then money will take you out of the groove of obeying God, because of the freedom it gives you. When you're not living no longer paycheck by paycheck, you know, you can wake up in the morning and tell them, y'all can take this job. I'm not here no more. You can't control me any longer. The only reason why I keep coming back is because this job has a way of controlling me, because I need money to take care of my living, to live a lifestyle I want to live. But see, God brings you to a lifestyle of freedom and liberty where you're no longer even thinking about it. Apostle says this all the time. I love it. He says, I can't even think broke. I love that. Man, because he's at a place, he ain't thinking about the mundane thing that everybody else is running around trying to get. Because God brought him to a place because he learned how to have a wealth mindset. Spiritually, he's in the groove of God. He knows the will of God. He's in God's perfect will. But he also, his mind is liberated. His mind is liberated that he has no limitation. He has no hangups in that area. So therefore, he has the freedom to obey God at the drop of a hat. That's where God's trying to bring us, and that's where he's going to bring us. You're in that place. That's why you're here, man. God is going to take you to a place in your liberty, in the kingdom of God, where money is going to be something you ain't going to pray about no more, not even think about no more. The question is going to be, God, what you want me to do with it? That's going to become the thing. And that's what God wants to position all of us. Okay? So get ready for it, because we're going to live this life. Okay, this is what he says. Continue, he says, we either rise with it or lose our freedom. That's why God's going to deliver us in our minds, in our souls, in our intellect, because in fact, we're to rise with this liberty. We're to ride this wave of being liberated from the bondages or limitations. He makes another statement here so profound. The only way to cultivate freedom is through experiencing and learning how to handle an increasing number of options. I thought that's very profound and unique that we need to make note of that. We need to make note of that. He says managing increasing options is how we expand our lives into ever increasing abundance. Number two, make note of it. Your life is not going to expand if you're not willing to take on more responsibility. That's God. God is looking for men and women who are willing to take on more responsibility. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. I mean, God is saying, I am enlarging your territory. I'm expanding your mind. I'm expanding your life and your world. So you got to take on more responsibility. God will not give a man increase if he's not willing to take on more responsibility. You got to be willing to take on more responsibility. Okay, so understand that. The more God blesses you, the more God says, I need you to do something. I'm requiring more of you. It's going to cost you more, too. So I got to break your mindset. So when I ask you for that $100,000, you ain't going to shalabah ba sha ka ta. I bind every demon, every devil. That can't be God. You know, and that's what wanted to happen to us. You know, when God started blessing, he required more of us. You know, not that little $10 and $20 you give him to get out of the gas pump. No, God said, go buy that house. I don't know them. That's why I told you, go do it, because you don't know them. It's God leading. It's God leading. And so we're going to get there, man. We're going to buy cars and houses, and we're going to buy people and bless people. Because the wealth is because God wants us to be a blessing. And we're going to find that further in the chapter, why God blesses us with wealth. Okay? Glory to God. Okay, the next paragraph says, Jesus said that the thief is the one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It's the devil who presents us with limitations, who removes our options and makes us afraid to live free lives. Wow. But Jesus came that we might have life and have it more and have it abundantly. Jesus has it in his heart to offer us a life of unlimited options. Unlimited options. That's John 10:10. You see, God wants you to have the freedom to do whatever he wants you to do when he wants you to do it. You got to think about, well, God got my bill to pay. You know, no, God said, no, we ain't thinking about bills. I'm getting you out of the realm of thinking about bills. You don't have no bills. You got more than enough. Apostle said tonight, you know, when is enough too much or more than enough? You understand, God is bringing us to a realm, but we got to change our minds. We can't go back to a lifestyle when God began to raise us up and we're on this tide of revival of prosperity where God is raising us up by changing our minds. We can't look for blue light specials anymore. You can't go to the store and look for family packs. You know, when we was broke, didn't have enough money, we go to the meat department, we're looking for those specials, those pork chops, those family things, just about ready to run out on expiration date. You know, we're looking for a deal, man. We're looking for something cheap. But God said, I'm trying to train your mind that you're not looking for cheap anymore. You're not looking for blue light specials. You can go anywhere, anytime, any place, any store, and get what you want at any price. Try and change your mind. You can't think poor no more. You can't think broke no more. You're not in that category no more. But what happened is, if we don't transform our minds, we can go to the place of wealth and still be in a place of survival. The place of wealth is to bring us to thriving, not surviving. Because if your mind not changed, you can have $100 in your pocket and still won't buy something that costs $75 because in fact, you still looking for something called 21. It's a mindset. So the chapter is about breaking the mindset, training the mind to think like God and to act like God. That's what we got to get, because it's the soul that's blocking us from our wealthy place. Your spirit already know quite well it belongs there. It's supposed to have it. That's why I keep reminding you, life got to be more than this. It got to be more than this. You know why? Because that's your spirit telling you it's more to it. But your soul keeps you comfortable in your comfort zone. You got to get out of it. No matter how high the gas go, I'm still going to fill my car up. You see, you got to think that way. You can't think limitations. You can't think limitations. So God is trying to get us out, but it's the devil that keeps bringing these limitations to us. And we look for a cheap way out. Tell your neighbor, I no longer think broke. That's what God is taking us. This is the apostles' teaching. This is how we're going to change this paradigm. That's how we're going to change the climate in the atmosphere. We're shifting it. We are a culture and generation they have not seen yet. You know, so your crazy cousin going to lose you. So don't worry about go by Thanksgiving anymore, because they ain't got but one turkey and two legs. You can't stay there. You know, they fighting over legs. You'd have bought some more turkeys. You know, they think broke. They think broke. You got to change it. Glory to God. Okay. So make this note, number three, abundance, freedom, and choices are all ways to describe a condition of the soul that we must master if we want a revival culture. I love it. I love it. Abundance, freedom, and choices are all ways to describe a condition of the soul that we must master. See, you must master it if you want a revival culture. And this is what apostles called to do, to raise up a generation, to raise up a culture of those who become distribution centers for the kingdom. But he needs everybody to change their thinking. They change their thinking. Money that you sow is not money gone, it's money sown. You got to understand that we're circulating wealth. So that means money is coming back to us. Investments are coming back to us. Our harvest is coming back to us because we understand the culture of God. We understand the culture. You see, so God is bringing us to the place to understand that when we start living in abundance and freedom, they're the condition, they're the product, they're the results of a trained soul. When your soul, your mind, your emotions, and your feelings become trained to the kingdom way of God's thinking, then it develops an abundance spirit, an abundance of wealth starts showing up, a good start showing up according to Jeremiah 33:9 that the apostle talked to us about the night. These things start showing up. So Dad said something to us the other week. He says, the car don't make the man make the car. So the car is nothing but an expression of the man. It's an expression of how he thinks. How he thinks, what his core beliefs are. And they're the thing that attract those things to his life. So we're not going after money. Money is coming after us because we've now become money magnets because our minds are transformed to understand that the assignment is more valuable than the car. It's not about the car. It's about the assignment. But God dresses us for the assignment because people won't know our assignment unless they can see it. That's why he getting it. That's accolade. It's the assignment. He don't need it, but it's for the assignment. And God wanted him to have it. You can't teach prosperity like apostles teach it around the world without having the goods. You can't come tell me about being a millionaire and you got a sign on the corner saying, I work for food. It doesn't add up. You don't have the goods. You don't have the good. So the message have a match, the lifestyle have to match the message. And it's the message, if you get it right and obey the principles, will bring the goods that your life will look just like the message. Amen? Okay, he goes on to say to us, the development and expansion of a wealth mindset is an essential key to our successful introduction of heaven coming to earth and having it remain on earth. This is important because we're talking about the culture, the government is upon his shoulder, is bringing heaven to earth. It's bringing heaven to earth. So therefore, the wealth mindset is a part of the process of the development so that heaven can come to earth and stay with us. And stay with us, that your fruit might remain. That's why God is training us in this season about the wealth. Our grandparents and even some of our mothers and fathers did not get this teaching. They got religious teaching. You know, hold on to God's unchanging hand. It's going to be all right. God will make a way somehow. You know, they got all the religious teaching, but they never got over to the wealth, possessing wealth, because the religion have always taught them being poor is holy. And we'll get over to that. We'll see that in the teaching, that the teaching teaches us that being poor, being broke, being on welfare, not having enough, your child in a flunking school that has negative A on it, that's the school your child need to go to. And every time you get money, God say, give it away. You know, and every time you lose, get a disconnection under the door, God and the angels are shouting over it. Because being poor is what pleases God, what religion taught us. Get $1,000 and the angels take their wings and droop over their eyes, get all sad, and God leave the throne because you got $1,000. That was religion taught us. And it still is a strong mindset as in people today in church. That in Christendom, it's a strong mindset that has to be broken. You know, and what apostle assignment is to break that stronghold, to bring us into wealth transfer so we can bring heaven to earth, the assignment to earth that God told us to rule and occupy until he comes. That's what God is trying to get us to. You cannot rule without wealth. You cannot rule without wealth. The word Lord, again, we talked about that earlier. The word Lord comes from the word landlord. That means one who owns property. If we're going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we need some property. We need some property. We need to be able to rule in the earth. Okay, so don't tell me how good your God is and you don't have no wealth. And that's the reality. People don't want to hear about the God who can. They want to see the God who's already done it, who's doing it, making it happen. That's what would cause their hope to come alive. Cause their hope to come alive. Okay, let's finish this. 11 minutes, my God. That's for me, not y'all. That's me. That's me talking out loud. Thinking out loud. Okay, the practice of wealth are exercises in abundance. If we are to learn the steward, I love this. If we're going to learn the steward, the resources of heaven, we must first learn to practice a wealth mentality. Boy, I love it. I love it. God has given us a transfer, but he got to give us a wealth mentality so we can be stewards of it. They will be stewards of the wealth. But the wealth is nothing but God empowering us for the assignment. And the wealth is at God exposure whenever he wanted. Whenever he wanted disposure, whenever God wanted, he can ask for it and get it. Because it's not mine. I'm a steward over it. He let me enjoy it, but he's the owner of it. I'm just a servant of it. So it belongs to him. So we must get in our minds that though I make go to work and get a check? Do I go to work and get bonuses? Do I go to church and I get a raise and a promotion? Everything that I make, every increase that comes in my life, it belongs to God. I'm a steward over it. It belongs to God. And so therefore, whenever God asks for it, I got to give it up because it don't belong to me. And if I obey him, because I have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, I have a stewardship mindset where I have a wealth mindset. I'm trained in my spirit, in my emotions, that I know this to be true, that God says all the earth belongs to him and all these blessings belongs to him. So therefore, I don't have no problem in giving it up because it belongs to God. And it's amazing how people don't get that easy concept. They don't get that easy concept. They borrow your car and won't bring it back. They come and borrow money from you and don't bring it back. You know, so they're making your stuff belongs to them. You know, they borrow your CD, your DVD, you know, and don't give it back to you. You see, that kind of mindset, man, we got to get rid of that. And so we're doing God the same way. God blesses us. Then he asks for the tithe. We don't give it to him. It belongs to him. It don't belong to us. You know, so we got to change our mindset about wealth and about money. Money is a tool. Money is a tool. And we got to come to understand that. So what number I'm on? Number four, right? On number four. Let me give you this because of time sake. On page 121, that wealth creates freedom. And we'll go back over this in our next teaching segment. Class, at the bottom of the last sentence on paragraph 2, said, but a wealth mindset is not really about money or adultery. It's about freedom. It's about freedom. A wealth mindset is not really about money or idolatry. It's about freedom. God liberating us, God freeing our time, God freeing our hands so we can be able to do the assignment. That's the note I made here. So that's number four, that wealth empowers you for the assignment. Wealth empowers you for the assignment. And it comes from that statement. The wealth mindset is not really about money or idolatry. It's about freedom. It's about our freedom. So when God blesses us with money, he's real wealth, he's empowering us for the assignment. For the assignment. That's what's so important. That's why you must get a wealth mindset. You must train yourself to think wealthy. You must think yourself to think prosperous, prosperous thinking, prosperous confession, prosperous believing, and then training yourself how to handle wealth for the kingdom. Train yourself how to handle wealth, handle money, control money, be a commander of wealth. To be a commander of wealth, that money obey you, you don't obey money. You got to train yourself to think this kind of way and think properly about money. And so no matter where you are, no matter what level you're on, it has to be a training process to get from where you are to where you need to be. Okay? So understand that God is giving you money at certain levels for training. God is giving you money at certain levels. He's training you how to handle wealth for him because he got something he want to pour out on you that you never had before. And if you don't learn how to do it with $1,000, you're not going to handle $1,000,000. If you don't handle it right, you're not going to handle it. So you got to train your mind so he give you a little at a time and bring the ladder from $1,000, $10,000, $20,000. Unless you start going up that ladder, you got to learn how to handle it because what, the more money you get, the more freedom you get. Freedom comes with it. And you can abuse your liberty if you don't have the right mindset. In the right mindset. I have people that we have trained according to Dr.